Hello, this is Frankly Speaking, an informational exchange of problems and issues of relevance to people everywhere. I'm Stephanie Hopkins for George Mason University. Today's program addresses the subject of consumer justices and injustices. To elaborate on the subject, my panelists are Mary Ann Schertz, coordinator of the Northern Virginia Office of Consumer Affairs, the Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, and Mr. Roy Sager, consumer specialist with Fairfax County Department of Consumer Affairs. First of all, exactly how do we describe a consumer?
A consumer is anyone who purchases goods and services for consumer use in the home.
Male, female, typically children?
Yes,
anyone. Okay. Once we have our typical consumer, what are the types of problems normally that arise in your given professions? What do people call you to complain about normally?
Automobiles is one of our leading complaints, along with housing. Sometimes these vary from time to time, which one is the highest ranking. I know this is true in our office, and Roy might like to add.
Consumer problems vary considerably from the 5-cent chewing gum pack to homes, automobiles, landlord-tenant problems.
In those given instances, do you find that people, once they call you, they're at their last resort, or are you normally the first place that they go to?
It varies considerably. Many times people will call us before they've contacted anyone else, and we advise them that first they should contact the manager of the store, because many times the sales clerk may not have the authority to make an adjustment like the manager would. Secondly, if they have problems with the manager, we will take their complaint and review it. If necessary, investigate it and try to mediate it. Then if there is still a problem or apparent violation of law, then we would recommend that they may like to look into taking it to General District Court.
Once a person has contacted your office, what do you advise them to do in terms of the paperwork process for submitting their claim?
First requirement that we ask of a consumer is, of course, to communicate with the merchant, whether it's someone who's building their home or a store or whether it's a landlord, to make sure that their problem is clearly and accurately communicated to the person we call the respondent. And in order to do that, I recommend, and our office recommends, that they write to the respondent, and usually we ask them to send a letter by certified mail, return receipt requested. The reason we ask them to do this, it eliminates any lack of communication on the part of management. Let's say it's a landlord-tenant problem. In this way, it is clear that a letter has been sent, the contents of the letter have been read by someone, because the return receipt has to be signed. And if management or the respondent in some business or builder doesn't respond to that, then it's clear that either that company is not willing to respond or is deliberately forestalling any action.
Is there any given instance where you will not investigate a complaint?
Generally speaking, if it's a business versus business complaint, where there is no consumer transaction, that would be an area that we would not investigate if there's no consumer product.
What about an age limit? Must an individual be 18 or 21 in order to register?
No.
The only requirement we have in our county is that either the business or the consumer reside or do business in the county.
Yeah, ours would be the same with the state, too.
So you're talking about Fairfax County versus the state of Virginia. Does each jurisdiction, meaning state, county,
and city.
City, do they have their own complaint center?
Well, in the state of Virginia, we have 8 localities that have local government sponsoring a consumer-type agency, which investigates complaints. We, in the state office, would handle any complaint that would not be handled by a local consumer office. And in this area, Fairfax and Arlington, Alexandria, and Prince William do have a local office. Our regional office in Northern Virginia for the state handles complaints, though, from as far down as Lexington, Virginia, up through Winchester, and do handle locally the complaints that would involve Fairfax City and the city of Falls Church and Leesburg and Sterling.
The place that you file, would it be contingent on where your residence is or where the complaint took place?
Generally, we encourage people to file where the complaint, the respondent is, or the firm. But each case is reviewed on an individual basis to have a decision made. We like to look in the state at complaints where the firm is multi-jurisdictional. Say if there's a large chain store, so that the problem they identify, if it's an advertising problem, may have rippling effects throughout more than one jurisdiction. We have somewhat more of an interest in that than a local television repair problem that only affects one jurisdiction.
Many people are not even aware of their consumer rights. I'd like to just stage here right now the possibility of what would actually take place with a consumer placing a phone call. Roy, with your being the investigative individual, Marianne, with you being the consumer calling in. Okay, so the phone is ringing, and Marianne, you're calling in to Roy.
Hello, this is Mrs. Schertz, and I'm calling to find out if I can get some help from your office regarding a consumer problem I'm having.
What kind of problem do you have, Mrs. Schertz?
Well, I purchased the other day a toy, and when I got home, I took the label off of it, the sticker price, and it said on the top sticker it was $11.98 and it was reduced to $8.88, and underneath there was a sticker that said $10.98, and I was just wondering if what I should do in this case. It appears that there's a problem in that the sticker said $11.88, but underneath it it showed that the original price was only $10.88 that it was being marked down from.
Looks like a case of misrepresentation and false advertising of the price. Have you gone to the store manager to bring this to his attention?
Yes, I have.
And what was his response?
He just said that this must have been an error, that they are very conscientious in this matter. But I felt I should bring that to your attention, being a consumer of Fairfax County.
Did he offer to reduce the price for you further?
He said if I wanted my dollar back, I could have it back.
Mm-hmm. And you want to pursue this further by filing a complaint with our office?
Well, I just feel that this practice should be looked into.
Okay, fine. Why don't I get your name and telephone number and address, and I'll have you file a complaint with us, and we'll take a look at it and see what we can do with it.
Okay.
Okay, in an instance like that, could it have possibly been just inflation that caused the markup in the price?
Well, if she has a situation there where a price has been modified, where they're advertising the sale price when in fact when she removed the sticker showing that the price is different, there are certain guidelines that one has to follow in truth in advertising, and it would appear that maybe this was a violation of the truth in advertising.
What tips would you give our general consumer, things that they should look for, be aware of?
You mean in buying products?
In buying products.
I feel that in this case, I brought this to your attention simply because I feel that consumers need to be more careful that prices are actually being reduced when they say they're being reduced. Sometimes there may be a tendency because of inflation, the sale price, item has to be for sale at a certain price for 30 days before it can be advertised that you can have a reduction. And so people need to be conscientious that stores are not advertising a reduction and it's actually at a higher price than what the normal selling price is. Comparison shopping is always extremely important. People call into our office and feel that sometimes it's over the manufacturer's price, you know, what the store is charging. They say this is illegal, this is not true, that they can charge that price if you agree to buy it for that. So comparison shop for warranty too, because with repairs as high as they are today, that's a very important consideration in buying merchandise. Also, refund policies and return policies, they vary tremendously, and many people feel that this is a state law, that people have to have a very consumer-oriented return policy, which is not true. And each store does vary. Some stores will allow you to exchange things. Some stores will allow refunds. Other stores say, once you buy it, that is it. And unless the product is really defective, there's very little sometimes you can do. And many times you do not see store policies posted. So if you're not used to dealing with the store, definitely ask them what the policy is on returning something before you buy it.
How far can an investigation actually go in your department, Roy?
Could you elaborate a little bit?
Well, if an individual files an initial complaint, and you file all of the paperwork, and, I mean, from that point on, what will happen to the case? And how far can it go, actually? What is the end result?
Well, the end result could be it could go all the way to the Attorney General's office, depending on the severity of the problem. Most cases, usually, though, are resolved by the investigator and frequently with the assistance of one of the county departments, for example, the Department of Environmental Management, either home inspector or home improvement inspector or public utilities people or one of the other agencies that the county has available that may not have, whose code or requirements may not have been met by the merchant.
I have seen several stores advertise, don't forget our coupon, our special coupon. In many instances, I have found that to shop with that particular coupon for that particular product, I'm spending more than I normally would by shopping regularly. Would you expound upon that?
Well, consumers, I think, are wise to use coupons if it's for items that they would normally buy. But sometimes, like you say, the item might be much higher priced to begin with than an item you would buy, and the coupon savings would in fact not be a savings but may cost you in the end if you still are paying a higher price for an item. So I recommend people use coupons, but only to the extent that they would be normally buying that particular product anyway.
What about the consumer who feels as though, I don't want to start trouble, I really don't want to get involved in any way?
The consumer that has that attitude is the one who's going to be continually taken advantage of by unscrupulous merchants and businessmen. A consumer who doesn't complain is only defeating the purpose for that consumer affairs have been set up to help the consumer. If you won't complain, we of course can have a record on file. We of course can investigate it. And it's the consumer's responsibility to take the time and the effort, even if it's just filing a complaint for the record. Because in Fairfax County, we do have what's referred to as a file readout service, which is a bit unique in that we allow consumers to call us and ask for a file readout on any particular company. And we'll say how many complaints are on file, the nature of the complaint, how it's been resolved. In addition, we also allow the consumer to come into the office and review the file to get more detailed information and actually read the investigator's audit trail.
Regardless of where our listeners are this morning, I'd like for them to be aware that they could contact your offices and you would at least direct them to the proper agency within their respective state. So would you each give the name of your agency again and your telephone number?
I'm Mary Ann Schertz, and our office is the Virginia Office of Consumer Affairs, and we handle complaints anywhere in the state. And our number is 573-1286.
For Fairfax County, you can call 691-3214, and we will handle complaints if you live in the county or if the merchant that you've dealt with is located in the county.
I'd like to thank you both for being here. I'm Stephanie Hopkins for George Mason University. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public affairs program produced by George Mason. For information about our guest or program, please call area code 703-323-2138. Thank you for listening.